So today is the 27th of July, and I am here in Henrico with
Mark Coakley, Director of Elections and General Registrar for the County of Henrico.
Yes, and I'm also here with our student team members, Tara and Olivia, who will be helping us in gathering the answers to these questions for our class. So the first question, and we're just going to jump right in, and this is an open-ended question, and I'll give you a copy of all the questions at the end so that you'll have a printed copy. But what is your biggest concern about the upcoming election, the 2021 elections?
For 2021, we have our governor's election and House of Delegates. The biggest concern I have is going back to 2020 presidential and the faith of the elections from the voters, so the confidence in voters, that we follow all the rules and laws of Virginia and the federal government, and we do it accurately, and they need to understand that. So it's most of a PR promotion for our point of view, as to make sure that they understand and they are confident in the process.
And that's one of the goals of our project, is to make information available so that people know that the registrars are being communicated with, that they were asked questions, that those answers are available, in hopes that people will feel confident about Election Day. So a lot of what we're doing as an organization is to shed light if there's opportunities for improvement, but also to highlight what's going very well in our localities.
Okay, great.
So definitely we're hearing that when we're going to registrar's offices, that people are worried about faith and confidence. Are there any other concerns with training, staffing, financial, anything like that?
We have a good relationship with our finance department. So funding's not an issue in Henrico. We could always definitely use more staff at the polling places for poll workers and part-time assistants here in the office. In 2020, we went to more of a open-ended absentee voting, the no-excuse absentee voting. So it switched the nature of elections from your neighborhood polling place one day to 45 days of everybody showing up at their own time. And staffing was an issue, lines were an issue, getting through it. But everybody was in good moods and spirits because they got to choose when they wanted to come vote.
Right. But I can see where that would put a strain on the resources of the office. Okay, great. So overall, do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective office?
Yes, we do. We get good support from the other government agencies in the county.
That's always good to hear. Okay, the county election board is supposed to consist of two Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor, which is what we have now. But in some areas, we're finding that boards have had trouble filling with willing Republicans or Democrats and have appointed an independent instead. What is the situation in this county with the electoral board?
With our electoral board, we do have two Democratic members, and one Republican. The Republican was the former clerk of court, so she was an elected official that retired a few years ago, and she's definitely Republican, and the Democrats are definitely Democrats, but they get along great together. So
there's
no conflict between the three of them.
So you would say that they have a good working relationship?
Yes, I would.
That's always a good thing. Okay. And what about precinct staff? You touched on that a little bit. Are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans? And what we're asking here is about election day parity for the workers.
It's real interesting because, as you know, in Virginia, no one registers by party. Everybody's independent until Election Day.
Right.
Then you pick a party, and then you become nonpartisan during the day for, reasons that you want to be non-partial with the voters. So everybody, since they're register as nonpartisan or independent, they choose when they fill out their oath to become an officer of election what party they want to represent, or if they want to represent either party if we don't have enough. So we do have a strong people that are D's and R's, but a lot of them just put the unaffiliated, and then they choose on election day what party to represent, because the nature of the beast in Virginia, that's how it works.
Right. So for air purposes, would that be yes, no?
Yeah. For the most part, we do reach out to the political party committees for strong party members to work for us. So that way it would be a yes that we get plenty of D's and R's on election day representing the whole county.
Right. But you would say in each precinct there's at least some representation.
Yes, yes.
So there wouldn't be a precinct that was all Democrat or all Republican?
No,
or,
by law there can't be. So again, some unaffiliateds will pick Republican at that time, but again, be nonpartisan during the day.
And I know the answer to this question, but the girls may not, so okay. I just want to explain. I keep calling y'all girls, young ladies, may not. What he's talking about is that when you sign up to be an election official, you're declaring on your form whether you what your representation status is. So you're checking signing up as a Democrat or an independent or a Republican. So that's what he's talking about when he's saying you're picking, you're basically just declaring your stance at that time. Okay, this is my last question, and then if Olivia, I think you're going to do questions 8 through 14, but this is my last question. Is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year-round or mostly just near elections?
Year-round for us. We have elections going on, it seems like, all the time. A June primary, a November general election. You think of it, we have 45 days of absentee voting leading up to that. So starting September 17th is really election day.
Yeah.
Training the officers, recruiting officers, going through the budget that starts in December and January. So the electoral board and the office are fully engaged year round.
Does your electoral board have monthly meetings? We're finding some don't.
Sure, we do not have a set monthly meetings. It seems lately we have been meeting every month, but it's not on the third Tuesday of the month. They will notify the advertisement of the meeting in our website and on the clerk's office. But it's just not a set time. We don't want to meet just to meet.
Yes, I understand that for certain. Do you post any of the minutes from your meeting for the public?
Yes. The Virginia Code requires us to post minutes. So it's on our website under Electoral Board. You can go back and see the minutes from the meetings, I think, for the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
When was the last audit of the voter file in your county?
We do audits every January of our voter files, where we still have the paper voter registration application. So by audit, you know, some counties you'll see have digitized theirs and scan them in. Mm-hmm. We haven't gone that route yet. So every January we go through the voter registration applications and we make sure they're in alphabetical order. We have the State Board of Elections that on after every even year, so like this year, they did the list maintenance, and that's stuff the state does, where if you're an inactive voter after two consecutive federal elections, then you're put on the confirmation notice. But that's more of a state process.
Mm-hmm.
But for our records, we do we keep track of through the vital statistics, death records, moves, cancellations, felonies all come from state sources.
Does your health department send a list of deceased people to your office every month so they can be removed from the voter roll?
Yes, they do, but it's more electronic, where they just zap it into our VERIS, the state registration system that you'll hear about when you go to other localities. The state has its own registration database. So the health department, the state health, we'll zap in everybody who's passed away, and then we'll send a confirmation notice out to make sure that they are, you know, to family members or something like that. But we get that from the state system.
Okay. Any follow up on that or anything? We've had some registrars say that they themselves go through the local obituaries.
Yes, and yes.
Do you all do that? Mm-hmm. I thought that was very interesting.
Some of the maybe more rural counties can do that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one of our delegates. His name John McGuire. Mm-hmm. But he's John McGuire the third John Joseph. And there's a first, a junior, a third, a fourth, and then just a bunch of just John McGuires. So I would hate to kill someone that's not the real person,
yeah,
you know, just by saying John McGuire in the obituaries, when we have,
right,
you know, tens of 20 of John McGuires in Henrico County alone.
So, right, right. Yes.
So we do not flip
obituaries. I thought that was interesting when someone said that. I said, oh.
Flip obituaries and attach it to their voter registration records.
When was the last time the clerk of court submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on the basis of being a non-citizen?
Again, that's done electronically, and I think it's done through the state. Our clerk has not given us the list. She sends it off to the state system, and then we get it pre-populated in our database.
So she's sending it directly to the State Board of Elections, who's purging it, and then you're getting that update.
Yes, that's,
and that happen, the that's happening every year, every 2 years.
Every year.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time you had access to the National Change of Address List or any other change of address list?
The National Change of Address List was done in July of this year. So again, the state handles that, the state election board, but it's NCOA mailings, as they're called, and we just finished doing that in July. I guess it's still July, but early July.
Do you all ever go through that list to double check behind the state?
We do, and actually, four copies must be printed off from that list. One to the party chairpersons, so each political party chairperson gets a copy of that list. The clerk of court gets a copy of the list, and then we have one for public viewing. So we go through it and make sure that everybody was either marked in the correct form that they needed to be.
Are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
Am I confident? That's a good question. Let me think. People move out of state and may not register in their other, like in North Carolina, so they just forget, or they just choose not to register in the new state, so we still have them active until we go through that list maintenance process. So you really can't be 100% confident in accuracy because of people moving. Now, if they move within Virginia and try to register, we have their social security numbers attached to the voter registration files. So, Olivia, if someone tries to register in Fairfax County, we would get dinged on that, saying, hey, their social security number matched up, but within another state, they may not ask for social security numbers. So we have to rely on this other state secretary of state to notify us when people register.
How many households in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address?
Yeah, which you probably don't know this off the top of your head.
I don't know that. I do know that we have a lot of assisted living facilities in Henrico, and they may use the same mailing address and then add, a Canterbury, and then their post office at Canterbury knows who to sort it out to. So I would say there we do have a large number of assisted living facilities with people using the same address. We also use assisted living facilities as its own polling place, so they don't have to travel out, get on buses if they don't drive, things like that. So our top 5 assisted living facilities are polling places.
During registration, how do you verify that voters are citizens?
There's a box on your voter registration application to check if you're a citizen, if you're a felon, and then if you're mentally incapacitated. If you check those boxes, you know, if you're a non-citizen and you check I'm a citizen to my felony, you can get, arrested or, you know, served. But again, based on address, social security number, if you're registering online, you need a valid driver's license.
So you do check up on it, we don't just rely on the box.
We rely on the box, again, with all the other information. It's more for people that, then they need to show an ID on election day, some valid form of a government ID, and we rely on that too.
Just as a follow-up to number 13, would you be willing to provide us a list of the addresses that have, or at least the number of localities that have more than 7 people at the same address? Like some localities, they could do a query and they just say, well, we know we have 27.
I don't know how to do that. Okay. Run that report. Sorry. Again, I just know like our assisted living facilities would have that.
I love how you have them set up as polling places.
We do.
It's sort of smart. Okay, Tara, do you want to do 15 through 18?
Sure. There are 3 types of voting machines used in Virginia. Can you tell me which machines you use?
Sure thing. For our voting machines, we use the ESNS DS200 optical scan machine. And then for our visually assisted voting machine, it's the Express Vote, also by ESNS. I think the others are, well, maybe Hart and Dominion are the other 2 or 3. There could be another one, a 4th one up in Northern Virginia. But ESNS is mostly in Virginia.
Okay. Who celebrates
calibrates.
calibrates the voting machines, and can you please explain the process?
Sure thing. We have machine technicians that are employed by our office to calibrate voting machines, and what they do is they take a sample test deck of ballots and run them through the machines, and making sure that, let's say you have 100 votes for candidate A, 80 votes for candidate B, and 70 votes for candidate C, and they mix them all up and run them through the machine, and then the tape will show 180 and so on. They can, based on the timing marks on a ballot, where you fill in the oval next to the candidate names, that scanner reads that complete oval. Also, we time and date all for the voting machine tapes. At the end of the day, we print out 4 copies of results tapes. We want to make sure it does say Tuesday, November 3rd on there. And not October 31st, so
yeah.
The date's correct, the time's correct, and that's the way to calibrate machines.
Okay. Do you invite party representatives to witness the calibration?
We do. We invite, it's called a logic and accuracy LNA testing. So the public and party and media are all invited when we calibrate and test our voting machines. And in Henrico, it takes about 2 weeks to do it. Mm-hmm. So they work a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, about 8 hours a day for 2 weeks. And the party comes and goes just to observe.
So both parties, and if there's an independent running, do you invite them as
well? The independent candidates, yes.
Okay, are voting machines ever connected to the internet?
No, the voting machines are not connected to the internet. There's not a modem in the voting machine or, a router to connect them. Our ballots are paper ballots, so paper can't be connected to the internet. But no, we do not do that. It's a good question.
Well, there's a lot circulating about these matters. So
I know. Yeah.
We'd like to be able to say, well, we asked all the registrars in Virginia, and this is what they said.
Sure, yeah.
So certainly, it's a good question.
Yes.
You could ask item B.
Oh, if they are not connected to the internet, how and when are they updated?
We have little flash drives, USB drives, that will put the candidate information on them for each precinct. So the machines themselves, not connected to the internet, don't get like Microsoft patches because there's no, need for it. So, but the flash drives will hold the candidate information. So for this November election, it's going to have the governors on there, but that's it. But the machines themselves, they just get just the basic calibration of testing of the timing marks.
So have the flash drives ever been hooked up to internet?
No, the flash drives are not. They get we program them on a standalone computer, the information for that election, and then insert the flash drives to program each flash drive. But it's a standalone computer.
And you all do that in-house with a Henrico County employee, or is there a third-party vendor who does that?
Actually, both. We may contract out the ESNS vendor to come help us, and they would come here. But it's really Henrico County employees that do the grunt work of the election.
And what's the name of the vendor that you use?
PrintElect out of New Bern, North Carolina. They're the ones that print our ballots for us. They're a certified optical scan ballot printer.
Mm-hmm. So if there's any trouble with the machines or any issues, that's who you would contact?
After we contact our voting machine technicians, they've been trained to handle paper jams,
which,
and basic
which
problems.
Rural places don't have. So,
right, right.
So you're a little unique because this is Tara's first interview, but Olivia was in an interview in a rural area where the vendor... The third-party vendor did
all that. Right, and we have our technicians, and we have about 12 to 14 voting machine technicians, and they're all retired VDOT employees or engineers, so they know equipment, different types of equipment, and love what they do. That's why they work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, because they fish on the weekends, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, the last place we went to only had two employees in the whole registrar.
Sure. So
the
I have
registrar and an assistant.
I have 10 full-time employees, and then maybe 25 part-time employees, and then we have 91 precincts in Henrico. So we have 1,300 poll workers on election day that we train every year.
This is good because. Tara will also probably get a rural one. It's good for them to compare and contrast.
Sure. Some of the smaller counties, this is their office right here. Two people, a voting machine in the corner, and then, two cubicles about this size, and that's what the county gives them.
Yeah, it's definitely a good contrast for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next... questions are about COVID and the adjustments with COVID, which was definitely an unprecedented occurrence in our culture that we had to address even through elections. So as an election professional, do you think that the changes made, and this is your opinion, do you think the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID have weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or really made no change in election integrity?
I think it strengthened the election integrity, where we had citizens who understood how dangerous COVID was. And we had so much PPE at our polling places. And this is starting in the June primary of last year. We had, if you remember last year, we had the March presidential primary in early March to nominate the two presidential candidates. Then COVID hit the following week. Well, we still had June elections. So we had shields up and masks and gloves and wipes and everything you can think of. But and the voters saw that and got the confidence that they were safe. Now, in Virginia, voters did not have to wear masks, but our poll workers wore masks and shields, and most voters did come in with a mask. Also, they could vote curbside, too. And what I mean by curbside is they could vote in their car. So if they were uncomfortable coming into the polling place, they could sit in their car and we would bring a ballot out to them. Two officers of election would bring a ballot out to the car where the voter could vote in their own space and security. And then the two officers would bring the ballot back in and put it through the scanner. So I think that added a sense of confidence and reliability where it promoted the safety of the elections.
Did you receive any funding or any in-kind contributions for training staff, voter education, or equipment, or any other purpose outside of the state of Virginia? So specifically, yes. We're like, you know, there's all kinds of civic groups or organizations that give money. They'll pay for you to go to a conference or anything like that.
Right. We did, and I think it's called CTCL, the Civic Organization. And I could look up the name if I need to, if you have a follow-up. But there was a nationwide organization that gave in the millions of dollars to localities that applied for it. And we received $411,000 from this organization for training, for PPE, for any equipment that we may need to help the voters. So we used it up pretty fast, especially after the large number of voters that happened in November.
Okay. And that's the only...
Other than the CARES Act that came from the state.
Oh, right, the CARES Act.
But that's more of a state issue. But want to say CARES Act also. We had money from that too.
Do you feel like you would have been able to successfully implement the election day operations without that money? Or do you feel like there would have been a little bit of a strain?
We would have had to cut back in some areas if we didn't have all that funding. The voters may not have noticed the difference, but staff would have felt more of a pinch in what they do. Less part-time workers would have come in. More hours, more overtime hours on staff. Maybe not all the tables we needed. We've had a double up on some areas.
Yeah, I can imagine. So were you able to hire more staff?
Hire more staff and bring in more equipment needed to process the ballots.
Yeah, certainly.
I have a question going back to curbside voting. How did you ensure voter integrity that each ballot was not tampered with before they brought them to the ballot box?
That's great. I said there are two people that would go out. So if we go back to, you know, R&Ds of the poll workers, someone that was a Republican and someone was a Democrat, would bring the ballot out to the car in a privacy sleeve, a manila envelope. And then the voter would fill it out and put it back in that privacy sleeve. And then those two poll workers would bring it in and place it in the scanner themselves.
So the Republican and the Democrat were together the whole time?
They were together the whole time.
So they held each other accountable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you think for the most part people stuck to that rule? Because we had some problems. I know there were people complaining in other counties that that rule wasn't.
Yeah, the R&D applied. We made sure, and especially and out here for the early voting, we used full-time staff to handle all curbside voting. So at the polling place on election day, it was the poll workers, obviously, but in our office, we used full-time staff to go, and again, always two at a time.
And the observers were
the
welcomed.
Observers were out there watching. Yeah.
So
we
to
have
observe
political
the process.
Party observers, and in Henrico, there's a lot of them, I should say. They take their job serious, and they like doing it. And we welcome the observers to watch over the process, and they have direct line to call me if they see anything going on during the day or after the day.
So effective on, do you girls have any other, young ladies have any more questions? Okay. Effective July 1st, 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded the state of emergency. How are you training your staff to ensure that there is a signature match for the upcoming elections?
Okay, yes. So on the absentee ballot envelope, there's a section for voter signature, and right below that, witness signature. So we've trained all of our absentee department. They need to look for those two signatures right next to each other. And we have, when we mail out the ballot, we mail out an instruction form. Hey, this is everything you need to do for your ballot to count. You know, obviously fill out the ballot. But then again, the envelope, we need your name, we need your address, we need a signature, and we need a witness. Mm-hmm. So we have instructions in the put in with the ballot. And then the absentee staff looks for that at this time.
Have you ever gotten any ballots that you weren't sure was the correct signature? And do you pull their application to do a signature verification at all? Or is that...
No, we don't do that, only because my mom has lived in Greensboro since 1967. And so she only has one voter registration application from 1967. And I know her signature today does not match what she signed back then. And we're not private investigators. So, you know, we're not Thomas Magnums where we can, you know, verify the correct G and R and stuff like that.
In some localities, there were instances of observers reporting that large stacks were being processed and it appeared to be the same signatures on each one.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe someone filled it out for the entire household. That's
right.
Why we were asking that question.
Sure,
and
no.
There's no legal requirement.
Yeah, it's the witness is going to help out with that. But before, we never saw it because we would get trays of mail in large localities, not just, you know, three or four a day,
right.
But the entire mail tray. So they're all mixed up together. We never just saw a group of from
right.
one household.
Right.
And the way you can return absentee ballots is through drop boxes, by mail, in person. You know, there's all these different ways to return absentee ballots back now.
Number 22, there's a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about the security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes. What are the chain of custody procedures for ballot drop boxes for Henrico?
Sure thing. So in Henrico, we only used three drop boxes outside the office. Two were at recreation centers and one was at a library. They were always in full view of the employees at the rec centers or libraries, so there was no tampering with them. And then when we went out to retrieve the absentee ballots, a full-time person, either myself over here at the western end of the county or my supervisor of elections at the eastern office, would go out, and as they were opening the box, the staff member would also sign off of how many ballots were collected, and they would sign, we picked up 20 ballots today, and sign that off, and then they would come back here, and then other full-time staff would count, okay, I've received 20 ballots. So there was chain of custody over picking up the ballots at a rec center, signing off, two people signed off on that, bringing it back here, two people signed off at the same number. We'd go to the absentee department, and then two people would sign off there. So we had six different signatures.
So just so I'm a visual person,
sure,
so I'm trying to, so if you were to go, you go to the rec center and you grab an employee and say, hey, I need to empty this box.
Yep.
I need to sign this form. I'm getting 10 out of the box.
Right.
So they would sign off that you're taking 10.
The date and time.
Date and time. You get in your car with the ballots. Mm-hmm. You drive them here with the sheet.
Mm-hmm.
You get an employee here. Hey, Patricia.
Two employees, right.
Two
different ones, yeah.
Okay, so two employees. Hey, these are the ones I just got from the rec center.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up 10. Could you verify so they're counting out? Okay, yeah, right. You're right. It's 10.
Yeah.
And then they mark 10 on their sheet.
Right. And then they would wrap them up and hand them to the absentee division, who would then look for the the information needed to count the ballot, name, address, signature. And then it would say, we received 10.
Did you have any concerns that they were being transported by one individual to your office?
Well, it was just me or my office supervisor.
So none of the members of the electoral boards, in some localities, members of the
electoral boards.
Electoral
boards did it themselves, right.
Yeah.
No.
So it's always a registrar's office staff member.
Staff member, mm-hmm.
Was there any time during the last election cycle when your drop boxes did not have video monitoring? So in some localities,
sure,
there was none.
Well, the video monitoring was the ones that were outside at our office. We had a video camera on the roof, you know, directly onto that. So that's the only one that had the video on, a 24-hour video.
Outside of this administrative building.
Right. The other three were inside buildings, inside the lobbies of the rec and parks and library. So they were only available when the libraries were open with staff watching them.
And the rec center and the library don't have
videos? They didn't have video, no, because it was indoors.
And I'm assuming you could only do it during their office hours.
That's right, mm-hmm.
Who was responsible for reviewing the videos, and were party observers present during the review? Or did you review the video at all? I mean, was there a cause to...
There wasn't a cause to review the video. The video is tied into our campus security system. So there are videos all over this mm-hmm. complex. And I guess, you know, the TV monitors you see where you have like six different TVs,
mm-hmm.
you know, one was always on the Dropbox.
So you have a security person who was watching
it
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful. If it was being reviewed, would you have been the person to review it as the registrar?
I would have with the electoral board. I would have gotten the three board members also to review.
But there was no need.
No.
Okay. So to strengthen public confidence in the integrity of elections, we hope to expand our observation efforts and have a few questions about election pages,
mm-hmm.
nonpartisan observers, and party observers. Would you provide training and support, maybe you already do, or designate other groups such as like a group like ours as nonpartisan to provide training and support for an election day page program as described in the Code of Virginia?
Sure. We've had a page program here for 19 years in Henrico County. We won a NACO award for our page program when it first started. So we've been doing student pages for almost 20 years. It's been interesting during COVID. Our training, we used to do it at schools, the high schools where the pages came from. But we've done it on Zoom and team meetings at students been more familiar with because of the virtual learning. So we have an actual page coordinator that goes to the guidance counselors and the history teachers at each high school and collects names and says, you know, who wants to be a page? And we get them from all 9 high schools.
And do you have your own training program for that?
We do, yes. And so, again, we've done it in person up until last year, and then we had to do it by team meetings and Zoom.
So are you planning to go back to in-person anytime soon?
I think we're going to do that this year, yes. Mm-hmm. And we do it at Hermitage, Verina, and I think Deep Run are the 3 schools. It's a full poll worker training. We will bring in advocates for our disability groups. It's more of just an election learning.
So they're basically getting the same training as an election official.
They are. And different types of voters and how to react. And it's a real good experience. Mm-hmm. We really enjoy it.
Glad y'all are utilizing that.
We used to give out golf shirts, but then the recession hit, the Great Recession of 2008. So that budget got cut.
So great. Would you authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights? And this is just your opinion. Mm-hmm. Would you authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives as described in section 24.2 about polling places and additional persons? So it basically says the registrar can approve other individuals. So are you personally, as the registrar, open to other watchdog type groups or other groups coming in?
And again, before COVID, we would always have overseas reps, Ukraine, Great Britain. You know, people would come in, since we're near the capital, Virginia, they would like to go either to Fairfax or Henrico.
That's neat.
So we've always had international groups come and observe us. And I've always welcomed them. I've never turned anybody away.
Okay, we're almost done.
Okay.
Would you authorize international nonpartisan observers? You already said
yes.
So yes, you're on the ball.
All right.
We've gotten mixed answers to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some people say it's just too crowded. You got too many people in there. Number 28, have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receiving in-person absentee ballots? So
yes.
Okay.
Yes, and we notify them, and it's interesting. We had some aggressive poll watchers, observers, in June that showed up without their letter. Mm-hmm. And I called the party chair, and I said, look, I need a letter. And he didn't know they were there. They just said, we're from the party. We want to observe.
Right.
And I said, well, do you want me to kick him out or do you want to write me a letter? And he said, okay, I'll write you a letter. So he wrote me a letter, faxed it over, and I let them stay. So, again, we want to be as open as possible.
Right. And what he's talking about is, so the parties, when they send observers, like if you were being sent to represent the Democrat Party, you would have a letter from the party chair saying Tara Blaskowitz is authorized as our party's representative to observe. So it's just a checks and balance. Well, I wouldn't know if Tara, I knew you knew that, but I wasn't sure if Tara.
Yeah, but it would be just to observe. And you're sitting there and you're going to get bored after a while. But, it's a neat process at the beginning to watch us go through and look at. And there's 3 people in an absentee team.
Mm-hmm.
One to look at the envelope. One then to give it to the next person to put it on the poll book. And then the 3rd person to actually open the envelope, take the ballot out, put it face down, and then put it through the machine. So 3 people are touching an envelope, reading the name, reading the address, reading the signature, and then the observer's just going, okay, again and again for, 10 hours a day. So
did you find that there were a lot of observers in the office when the in-person absentee ballots started?
And they would ask questions, and we try to accommodate their questions, but really they're there to observe, right? Mm-hmm. And not ask them. But they were learning too. So again, it's a teachable moment. Right. For everybody.
Well, and that's what we're hoping to do, is to train the observers. Mm-hmm. So that when they get to you,
yes,
they already have basic knowledge. Mm-hmm. To keep the process going, certainly. Yep. Okay, do you have publications that you provide to your election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers? So some localities
the state document, and there's actually two things. There's a two-page overview. And I think there's like a 12-page real document of the do's and don'ts of the observers. So we give out both.
But you don't have your own publication?
No,
that you're
using. We just use what the state provides.
Let's see. I don't think I have any more questions. Do you? Mm-hmm. Does that have any questions? Well, we certainly appreciate you being so helpful.
Oh, yeah, this has been great.
And it's so interesting, the different answers that we get from different localities. Mm-hmm. So I'll send you a link to where the information will be available to you. Yeah. You can actually see some of the answers from other localities.
Yeah, I like that.
yeah. Pique your curiosity. But at the end, what we hope is to send a positive review to Virginia voters saying, this is where we're at.
Okay.
And these might be some areas where we want to improve. And these.
Sure, like the signature and the household. Understand that.
Right. And of course, obviously, most of the answers that registrars are giving us, they're saying, well, I've got 9 localities. But they're they give us the address and they tell us they're assisted living. So, that's to be expected.
Yeah.
What you're looking for is like an apartment, a 2-bedroom apartment that's
got
11 people registered. So we appreciate that. Well, I'm going to stop this now. Thank you so much.